With more than 250,000 Americans dying from cardiac arrest every year, the American Heart Association has released new guidelines for cardiopulmonary resuscitation, CPR. The new guidelines are an effort to make it easier to perform resuscitation. If you've ever received CPR or had to administer it or have questions about these new guidelines, give us a call, 800-989-8255, or send an email to us, TOTN at npr.org. Mary Fran Hazinski is an emergency and critical care nurse, editor of the new guidelines for the American Heart Association. She joins us from her home office in Nashville, Tennessee. Good of you to join us today.
Thank you, Neil. I'm glad to be here.
What are the changes, and how are they different from the old guidelines?
Well, the biggest change is that there's much more emphasis on basic CPR, getting back to the basics. We've streamlined the guidelines, and we put much more emphasis so that rescuers will know to compress harder, compress with fewer interruptions, allow the chest to recoil completely. So it really is a back-to-the-basics approach with the guidelines.
And when you say compress harder and compress more, am I wrong? I mean, the old guidelines used to be 15 compressions and then a breath, a mouth-to-mouth?
Right, you're right. And for children, it was a 5-to-1 ratio, 5 compressions to 1 breath. And now for all single rescuers, we're recommending 30 compressions to 2 breath ratio.
Mm-hmm.
And so that will give more a longer series of uninterrupted compressions. And with compressions, of course, you generate blood flow. And so that's critical.
And that's the reason why the change has been recommended.
It's been recommended for 2 reasons. One, by giving a single compression ventilation ratio for all single rescuers, for all victims, that's for infants and children and adults, it'll make CPR easier to learn, remember, and perform. And then the other thing is we do have some data from studies done of actual resuscitations that rescuers were interrupting compressions too often to do legitimate medical things,
mm-hmm.
but they were interrupting too often. So we think that these longer series of compressions will lead to better survival.
We're talking about the new recommendations from the American Heart Association on CPR. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And in terms of, I mean, obviously, if 250,000 people go into die from cardiac arrest every year, this is an enormous issue. How many people are you training now in CPR, and are these people getting the chance to apply that knowledge?
Well, we train our goal is to train 20 million people a year in CPR. We're not quite halfway there, but we're working very, very hard to do it. The American Heart Association has recently launched a CPR Anytime program that allows people to learn CPR in 30 minutes or less. So you can learn CPR in less time than it takes you to get the oil change in your car.
Mm-hmm.
So we are making headway in teaching people, but we need to do a better job.
You also mentioned harder compressions. A lot of people are worried about obviously hurting somebody.
Right, but you have to remember that if someone's unresponsive and you think they're in cardiac arrest, they will be dead if you do not do something to save their life. And the risk of a rib fracture or a bruise seems very, very small when you compare to the possibility of saving a life. So people need to push hard. They need to compress the chest deeply enough. In an adult, it would be 1.5 to 2 inches. And in a child, it would be 1/3 to 1/2 the depth of the chest, and push at a rate of about 100 times a minute.
Let's get a caller in. This is Steve. Steve calling us from Fayetteville.
Yes, my wife has a pacemaker. How do you go about giving CPR to someone with a pacemaker?
That's an excellent question. A pacemaker does not interfere with giving CPR because the pacemaker does have there are some wires that are attached to the heart, but they should not interfere with CPR in a normal fashion.
So no problem?
No problem.
Okay.
And I would encourage you to learn CPR because 2/3 of people who arrest in their home. And so if you learn CPR, you will be most likely to use the skills for someone you love.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Steve. Let's hear from Stephanie. Stephanie calling from Granville, Ohio.
Hello. I have a question for the guest.
Yep.
When she began explaining the changes in the rules, and pardon the baby who's trying to talk, too.
Oh, the baby's all right.
She said that it is not 15-to-1, but 30 compressions to 2 breaths for adults. I was wondering if the rules have changed in any way applying to infants and children.
Yes, they have, and that's a very, very good question. We recommend that for a single rescuer and for all lay rescuers that you use the same compression ventilation ratio for adults and infants and children, and that's a 30-to-2 compression ventilation ratio. We do know that infants and children need breaths because they most often have a respiratory arrest first or what we call a hypoxic arrest more commonly than adults do. So we know that the breaths are very, very important for infants and children. But we think when you give a 30-to-2 compression ventilation ratio, you will be giving just enough breath for infants and children and also enough breath for adults.
Okay, may I ask another question?
Sure, go ahead.
You also said that the recommendations are to push harder and compress the chest deeper. And I just took my CPR class 2 weeks ago, so I'm wondering, and as did my teenage son, and I'm wondering how much of a new lesson I need to give him or if we should just take a new class.
Well, actually, the depth of compression that we're recommending is the same depth as we recommended it that you learned about in your course that we recommended in 2000. What we found, however, is we observe actual CPR that people don't compress as deeply as we recommend they compress. So it's a matter of practicing CPR and pressing as hard as we recommend. So the compressions that you learned, that compression depth in the course that you learned, is appropriate. It would be a good idea to take another CPR course sometime in the near future because we know that the more you practice CPR, the better you'll get. Mm-hmm. And you might consider getting one of these CPR Anytime systems that have the inflatable mannequin and the CD-ROM, and they will be able to teach you the new ratios.
That is a very good idea. Where could I find information about that?
You can get on the American Heart Association website.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Stephanie. And we just have a very few seconds left with you, Mary Fran, but our emergency teams, are they going to be retrained?
Everybody's going to be retrained. The American Heart Association will have information for instructors after the first of the year. And, in fact, there's information on the American Heart Association website today that's available that gives more details. And we encourage everybody to take a CPR course.
Mary Fran Hazinski, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Neil.
Mary Fran is an emergency and critical care nurse, editor of the new guidelines for the American Heart Association, and she joined us from her home office in Nashville, Tennessee. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan.